Okay, we're going to open up the phone lines now. Let's give you an opportunity to talk with our very special guest tonight, Ann Druffel, who's gracious enough to stay with us for the complete 3 hours tonight. It's getting late, but she's with us. She's a trooper. Back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Ann, earlier when you were talking about some of these creatures, I mean, can one assume we're also talking about the possibility of leprechauns?
Well, leprechauns are a form of Irish fairy folk. The fairy folk are synonymous with the Muslim jinns. You know, just like
right.
Incubi are synonymous with the Muslim jinns. The Bunians in Malaysia are synonymous. They're called by different names in various countries. And the leprechaun, you know, there are folk tales about leprechauns, but according to the Irish folk legends, the leprechauns are responsible for mending the shoes of the little fairy folk who dance all night. Now, you know, that sounds like a folk
mending
tale.
The shoes.
Yes. That's their job, mending the shoes.
Producer Tommy, we're only in Ireland right now.
But there are many Irish fairies that are not nice at all. I mean, they're good fairies like the brownies, but then others that are very, very bad that the Irish have stories about.
I love the work you do.
Several Irish authors.
All right, let's go to the phones, and they are loading up here for you. Let's go to our first-time caller line. You're on the air with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. Where are you calling from?
From San Diego.
Great. Cogo Land. Go ahead.
Yeah. I have a question. I don't know if this is going to be like a religious question or not, but when the Virgin Mary appeared at Fatima, didn't she say there was going to be like consequences if Russia wasn't consecrated to her?
Yes. Mary, the Virgin Mary, specified that if the consecration was not done, that there would be very terrible consequences to the earth, that there would be catastrophes that would be, well, synonymous with what's described in end times. But that eventually the consecration of Russia to the Immaculate Heart would be done, and then there would be a period of peace given to the world. But yes, there would be great catastrophes if the consecration is not done. And we think that she specified Russia because in 1917, nobody thought that Russia was a threat. But once communism set in, all sorts of evils began to appear in the world, like abortion started there, the first terrorist acts were in Russia, all sorts of, plus communism, which has spread around the world and caused chaos in so many countries.
You know, there are some who will always believe that chaos is done by intent, and that you know, maybe not these creatures we've been talking about, but that, you know, we're being manipulated worldwide by a lot of people who just want total chaos all the time. And, you know, and when you look at what happened in Fatima, who knows? I sometimes think, did they have a UFO visitation, not a religious experience?
There was a theory that the object that appeared during the so-called miracle of the sun was actually a UFO. And in fact, I myself wrote an article about that for the Encyclopedia of UFOs, you know, specifying that possibly this strange orb that appeared in the sky over the place where Mary appeared might have been a UFO. But it was called the Miracle of the Sun, and the Catholic Church, they studied the apparitions and the miracle of the sun for 30 years before they decided that that the Fatima apparitions were worthy of belief. In other words, they are accepted by the Catholic Church as true.
Okay, let's go back to more calls. Wildcard Line, your turn. You're on Coast to Coast with Ann Ruffel. Hi there.
Hello.
Yes, take it away.
Okay, I wanted to ask her, Ann, are you there?
Yes, we're here.
Okay, good. You have quite a background with the Catholic Church, do you not?
Yes, I do. I'm a traditional practicing Catholic.
Well, do you mind me asking a personal question? What does your priest say about your involvement with, you know, the body of work in general that you're working with, and comparing the apparitions of Mary and your traditional Catholicism with other religious backgrounds, and tying that into end times? I was just curious about that, number one. However, I also wanted to know whether you'd consider sharing with George the things that the Scapular of Mary and the Miraculous Medal, the Pietà Prayer Book in particular, the Oration of Christ in the Holy Sepulchre, and the Holy Water, in terms of protection as a Christian. Now, you're talking about protection, George.
For my Ouija board experiment.
People. Well, no, I was thinking more like people like Oscar. I mean, that really upsets a lot of your...
He creeps me, he creeps me out. Doesn't he creep you out?
He creeps me totally out.
Yep.
However, the thing is that I read something.
Let me tell Ann who he is, by the way. He's a person who calls the show, Ann. He claims to be the son of Satan, but he's really strange.
Oh. Well, try to avoid, you know, researching people like that.
Yeah, well, you got to get her. But, you know, one of her questions that she asked is, how does your parish, I guess, feel about you dabbling in the field of ufology and things like that?
Well, the thing is, you see, a lot of fundamentalist Christian churches think that going into UFOs, things like reincarnation, end times even, is demonic. That it is influenced by the devil, every book that I have written that goes into UFOs and even reincarnation, things like that, I have gone and discussed it with theologians with whom I have acquainted, Catholic theologians, and they all reassure me that I can investigate. I can research any subject that comes to my mind as long as I depend also on prayer and the sacraments in order to obtain the truth, that the Catholics can research anything they want.
All right, fair enough. Feast of the Rockies, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hello?
Hello? Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, this is Christopher from Chicago.
Sure, Christopher.
I just wanted to call and give my understanding of the backgrounds of the Jains in general on an Islamic basis, according to the Sunnis.
Sure.
And the belief is that the angels were created first from light, and God created angels without free will or the creator. And then the creation of the Jains was made, and they were made from fire free from smoke. And these Jains were a creation that did have free will, and they live on earth but in another dimension. And then humans were created. And in a whole aspect of bow down to Adam and the children of Adam, the devil was a jinn, not an angel, who refused to bow. And I also believe that the jinns are responsible for all supernatural, including UFO activity. And the reason behind it would be that the devil and his followers, which are his own race of people, half are good, half are evil, they also have their own heaven or hell, that he hates humans. He hates the creation of humans, and he wants to see us destroy ourselves.
Well, that's very similar, Anne, to some of the things you've investigated.
Oh, that jinns harass us because they want us to destroy ourselves.
Yep.
That's as good an answer as anything I've ever been able to find. The thing that's come to my mind mostly, though, is that according to the Quran, the Muslim Bible, the earth was created first for the jinns. to live in a altered realm of a reality that is not our physical space-time around the Earth. And that then when humans were created, we were given the physical space-time continuum on the Earth in which to live. And at that time, the jinns resented our intrusion. That's most, you know, one of the most logical things that I've been able to come up with.
Sounds like fallen angels again, though, Alan.
Anne? The fallen angels create evil, but the jinns are both good and bad, you see. The fallen angels are evil only, perpetrating only evil. The jinns, there are good jinns and bad jinns, according to the, you know, to what we know about them. So they are not all totally evil like the devils or fallen angels, as we call them.
When you had an opportunity to talk with McDonald, and I guess you did, right?
Talk with who, please?
James McDonald.
Oh, yes, yes.
Would you consider him
meet with us at NICAP group here.
Would you consider him a friend?
He was...
Or just an acquaintance?
He was an acquaintance. But he was friends to a very few in the field. He was a very sociable man with a tremendous sense of humor. But he chose his friends very carefully, mostly among the scientists. But he was friendly to everyone. I would say that I was an acquaintance of him. I worked with him on two or three cases in this area and went to every meeting that he came to here.
And did he ever share with you or anybody that you might know a UFO case that just completely baffled him?
Yes, he shared the Heflin photos. I mean, he worked on the Heflin photos. We worked
one of which is on your cover, right?
Yes, okay. Uh-huh. And there's a whole chapter in Firestorm about the Heflin photos, and they were completely mystifying to him because he couldn't understand why the fourth photo that Heflin took of a smoke ring that apparently was blown off by the object as it disappeared out of sight. And so he was never able to accept the whole all four Heflin photos. He accepted the three of the object itself, but the smoke ring photo puzzled him so.
Well, it's like this donut hole that they talked about with the UFO over O'Hare Airport.
Similar to that, yes. Yes, but that's described in the book also in Firestorm. And we had an article that was written in the Journal of Scientific Exploration, a refereed scientific journal, about the Heflin photos answering everything that had puzzled McDonald about it.
I'll tell you one, the one that really gets me on Heflin is photo number one, which you have a tight shot of on your cover, but it's that you could see the area underneath it has been disrupted while it's taken off.
Well, it Clearly. Was flying by in the first photo.
There was like wind underneath it or something.
Yes. Our computer enhancement, a very fine scientist, indicated that there was some kind of a disturbance that he couldn't identify.
Like a vortex or something.
I don't know, but surrounding the object itself was an unexplained blur, which we hypothesized that perhaps it was caused by ionization of the air, which might give some clue as to the propulsion system.
Let's go to our East of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
That's for me?
Yeah, go ahead, please.
Oh, I was just listening. I want to say, George, I love your show, man. Been listening for about a year. Been trying to call every day for a month. I hear you every day at work. My God, I love the show.
Thank you so much.
Keep doing what you're doing.
Okay, you got your answer you wanted? Great.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate that. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with us. Hi.
Hello?
Yes, sir. Take it away.
Hi. You spoke about the implants earlier, and I have a couple questions about those. Are there any outward signs? Are they detectable by X-ray? How would a person tell if they had something like that? Or had, you know what I mean? What would be the easiest way of figuring something like that out?
Well, some abductees feel that there's some kind of a mysterious bump inside, and so they get an X-ray, and something appears on the X-ray, which is inexplicable, and that would, you know, get Dr. Lear's attention. Other people have X-rays for other purposes, and the so-called implant is detected by accident. You see,
what do they generally look like on an X-ray? And the reason I ask is because I've kind of had a recurring, and maybe I watch X-Files a little too much or something. But I've kind of had a recurring pimple type thing right in the middle of the back of my neck, and it occurs maybe 3-4 times a year, but it's always in exactly the same spot. And I just kind of had that thought about a month ago. Jokingly, you know, I wonder if I've been abducted or something, and so I thought I would ask if that is a common place for them, or.
Well, there's no common place, you know. They appear in the hands, the legs, the feet, near the head. What I would suggest is the next time you perceive it, go to your doctor and ask to have an X-ray.
Okay.
Don't tell him what you suspect, but just an X-ray to see, you know, whether or not it's a tumor or something like that.
Okay. And what size are these things usually? Are they like a millimeter or a quarter of an inch, something like that?
There are different sizes from a few millimeters to, you know, possibly close to an inch. I'm not an expert on implants,
okay. But
they're not tremendous.
Okay, I heard you talk about them earlier. Anyway, thank you very much.
Great, thank you. But really concerned calls too, Anne. This affects a lot of people, doesn't it?
What affects
the abductions?
Abductions. Oh yes, we have thousands of cases all over the country, and in other countries now. England, Australia, Ireland, I guess into France.
Next up, let's go to East of the Rockies. Welcome to the show. Hi there.
Hi there, George.
Yeah, welcome to the program.
It's great to talk to you and Anne as well. My name is Carmen, and I have a question for you, Anne.
Mm-hmm.
I've done a lot of research in the alien field, sort of, and coming to the end of times, you know, and everybody's worried about that right now because of all the mass war and everything and the deception. Do you think that the Antichrist could possibly come in, quote-unquote, an alien form, and that the aliens are actually demons?
Answer that when we come back, Ann, on Coast to Coast AM. On our next Coast to Coast program, Randall Fitzgerald joins us as we talk about these incredible things that are happening here in the United States, these imports from China and elsewhere. Sounds like they're out to get us, doesn't it? Dangerous tactics being used to deceive the government and us. We're going to get a little bit more inside information. It will really shock you and make you pretty angry. We'll be back in a moment. We'll take more phone calls, final calls, with Ann Druffel on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back, Ann Druffel, our guest, your calls. Let's go. Now, the question from Carmen, who was calling from Arkansas, was that with the Antichrist, might it have had some kind of alien influence, Ann? What do you think?
Well, she was asking, could the Antichrist possibly come as an alien?
Mm-hmm.
I researched this very carefully. I mean, over a period of months, just what the Antichrist could be. And the sources specify that the Antichrist that it can be identified by the number 666.
Right.
You see. Now, some versions of the Bible say that 666 is the number of a man, you see, an individual, in other words. But other sources, other translations of the Bible say that the number of the Antichrist is a human number. And this caught my, you know, attention because I was aware of the UN and the problems that it is it has caused in the past and is trying to cause in the future, which are described in my book. And so I chose the interpretation of 666 being the number, being a human number. In other words, a group of humans. So I don't have any information or evidence that the Antichrist will be an alien.
All right. Next up, Wildcard Line, you're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Hey, welcome.
Good morning. This is Richard calling from St. George, Utah.
Utah, sure.
Can I cram in two quick questions and a quick
absolutely
quick comment?
Sure thing.
Okay, great. First of all, I'd like to point out for anybody who's interested, numerologically, the X Files is 666.
Yes.
As is Fox, the word Fox, both the network and the one of the protagonists of the X-Files.
Yes.
Okay.
What's that beep?
I have no idea. I thought it was on your end.
No, it's not on my end. Anne, is that on your end?
No, it's not on my end.
It's his. Yeah. Okay.
Anne. He's recording it. The book, or the series of books, called The Law of One, written in part by the psychic Carla Ruckert and the researcher Don Elkins out of Louisville, Kentucky. Know that name?
No, I'm not familiar with that.
Okay. A wonderful series, four books, written, I think, starting in the late 70s. Which look into the psychic aspect of UFOs. Just a comment. And then secondly, along the same lines, there's a book, gosh, it must have been written back in the 70s at least, called Operation Trojan Horse, which brings out an interdimensional suggestion or hypothesis that's where UFOs come from also. It goes back quite a ways.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If I may make one further comment on Operation Trojan Horse, I remember that the author himself states that he did a test at, I'm going to say it's the Great Pyramid. It's one of the pyramids. I think it was the Great Pyramid, whereby he sent a signal, possibly radio signal, something through the pyramid, to a receptor on the other side, expecting that he would get a straight signal if all that was in between was known, you know, rock and empty space. And in fact,
so what are you talking about, sir? What's your question, Richard?
Oh, I wanted
Richard
to know if she'd heard of the book, just the Operation Trojan Horse, and if she had any comment about it.
Okay,
that.
I don't think you did, Ann. Have you?
Well, I probably have it in my library, but if I have read it, it would have been years ago, and I have no, you know, I couldn't comment on it. But as far as the psychic aspects of UFOs, they exist. I mean, even when you have the physical UFOs appearing to people, a psychic phenomena do occur along with it in some cases. And in fact, when I was investigating the Yorba Linda photo in 1968, that's in California, there were psychic aspects to it that got me interested in psychic phenomena for the first time. And that's how I became interested in psychic phenomena as well as UFO research. So there is a great mixture of psychic aspects, and even with the physical UFOs. And they're just not understood.
Okay. Good. Thanks for the comments. Let's move on. Let's go to our international line. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Hi, George. It's Mary calling from Toronto, Ontario.
Hey, Mary. How are you?
It's nice to talk to you and to you, Anne.
Thank you.
Anne, do you have an imprimatur for your book?
A what, please?
In Catholicism, when the some writing...
Oh, an imprimatur?
Yes.
Oh, no. No, I don't.
Have you tried?
No, I don't think I could get an imprimatur. Is that what they...
Well, yeah.
They don't use that too much anymore.
Oh, I always look for it now in publications that I receive, that I read.
I see.
And it's often, the imprimatur is often a bishop from the States, in fact.
How do you get it?
I don't know. I guess you go to the your archbishop, I guess, and start from the archdiocese office. But I think it would be really good if you had one, because it would put put Catholics at ease, and they'd feel comfortable to go and read your book. Because, you know, I think you mentioned earlier that some of the things are, like, iffy, but you were told by a priest that as long as you went to that you prayed and received the sacraments, that it would be okay?
No, what he said was that a researcher like myself, an objective researcher researching mysteries that are not specified as dogma in the church, but are still mysteries that mystify, people, researchers, that I would be free to investigate them as I wished, as long as I also depend on prayer and the sacraments to get the truth. But, of course, that's individual for me. I couldn't depend just on researching the literature and other sources.
East of the Rockies, your turn. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Hi, George. Thanks.
Sure.
Ann, I would like to ask you, George, this is Robert from Chicago.
Yeah.
Ann, do you remember there was supposed to have been a letter that was given to the children at Fatima, and it was supposed to be opened at a certain time. Do you remember that?
Oh, well, that was with the three secrets, and they held back on the third one. And of course, there's been a big controversy as to what that final secret really is. I mean, I've heard all of them, from a Catholic president would be killed, JFK, to the Russian situation, to, you know, the Pope would be shot, as he was. I've heard all of these. And I think it's bigger than that.
Yes, it is bigger. The Fatima Center, of which I've,
not that shooting a president isn't big.
I discussed tonight. They have information from academics, from clerics who had some access to that 26th line letter, revealing the contents of the third secret, which have never been revealed publicly by the Vatican. And they say that it concerns apostasy in the church on the highest level. Now, if people want to contact the Fatima Center and get information about this, you can ask for free information about this. And you don't have to be Catholic.
Let's go back to our dear friend James E. McDonald. Does his family talk about this situation anymore? Are you in touch with them?
Oh, yes, I'm in touch with Betsy. I have been since the mid-1990s.
Did they get divorced before his death or suicide?
No, they were not divorced. She had a boyfriend, they were never divorced. She was speaking of divorce, and this is what she feels sent him into the depressive state.
Yeah, so she believes he did commit suicide.
Yes.
Okay. She never found any special files or anything that he might have had about UFOs?
No. She's given me permission to search various places around their property, in woodsheds and things like that, storage sheds, and we have not found.
Was he ridiculed much, Ann, by his peers?
Pardon?
Was he ridiculed much?
Not publicly. because the people did not ridicule James McDonald. He was a very prestigious scientist. But he overheard remarks sometimes being made about him, you know, that, people were saying things that they didn't know he was listening. And his peers at the university, the University of Arizona, Tucson, never ridiculed him. Some of them actually helped him with the parts of the UFO research. He was not ridiculed by his peers, but he was ridiculed publicly in Congress by two congressmen when he was giving testimony about the damage to the ozone layer in 1970, 71. And he was one of the first scientists to alert the population that there was damage to the ozone layer being caused by a technology.
He also testified before the UN, didn't he?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
How did he pull that off?
By asking. The Secretary General did not attend that particular meeting. He was someplace else in another country. But these two congressmen who ridiculed McDonald publicly in this hearing about the ozone layer, it sent him into, I don't know if it was depression or not, but he was very worried and upset about that. And he was telling friends that he was very upset because these two congressmen were not asking questions about his theory about the ozone layer, but his theory about little men that fly in the sky.
That's see? The way they presented it, huh?
Yes, yes. And he was very Typical. Upset by that. It was the first time he had ever gotten public ridicule.
Let's go to our wild card line. You're on with Ann Druffel on Coast to Coast. Hi.
Hi. Well, is it me?
I think if you are you, it is you.
Oh, hey, this is great. Hi, George. This is Lynn in Apple Valley.
Hi, Lynn.
And I want to thank you so much for being so kind and considerate, not only to your guests, but to a lot of your callers. And thank you for JC. He made a very miserable night quite enjoyable.
He always does.
And I was a former truck driver, and when your guy said a year ago about the K's, I knew right where they were at. What I want is I want to tell Ann something.
All right, go ahead.
And like you, I don't believe in coincidence. Mm-hmm. I pulled a book out the other day that I was going to throw away, and it's a book that Ann co-authored with Armand called Past Life, Future Growth. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that, Miss Duffrow?
That was our first book, yes.
Yes. I was the woman, Armand, I was the last woman in Southern California he read before he moved up north.
Oh, wow.
And he made me go out and get your book, the Future Lies. He told me what chapter to read and to come back. He gave me the money that I paid for it.
Oh.
He signed it, and he told me what was coming and how to prepare for it. He was a wonderful man, but he told me, I hope you'll come up to Crescent City and see me again someday.
Oh my God.
And I've been looking and looking for him, and you just gave me a big gift because
now,
I have tried every way to find him.
Now you know.
Now I know, and now I can kind of put that to sleep. So, and I don't believe in coincidence. I just saw your name on his book.
Now you have to tell us, so what did he say to prepare?
He told me in 83 great tragedy was coming, and it did.
In 2001?
No, 1983, I saw him with a group of people, and he picked me out, and he said, I need to talk to you.
I mean, was the tragedy 9/11?
No, it was in the first time he read me was in 83.
Well, what was the 83, what was the tragedy in 83?
He was telling me what was coming.
I know, but what happened?
That my son would be involved in a horrible
He was telling you something personal.
Yes.
Okay.
Then,
I thought it was.
But I do have other things on his tape about the future. But I have all of his tapes, but he was an amazing man.
Well, sorry to hear about your son.
Everything he told me came true. And he said, I hope you come up to Crescent City and see me. He said, I know your strength and courage will get you through. And when I heard you say Ann Druffel tonight, I almost fainted.
Mm-hmm.
And please thank Tommy for putting me through.
Okay.
Thank you so
Thanks,
much.
Lynn.
Well,
all right.
Thank you.
Get a little closure. It's important to get closure, Ann.
Oh, Yes. Real closure.
First time caller line, you're up with us. Hi there.
Hi. Hi. I'm calling from Northern California. George, I really appreciate your forum.
Thank you.
I've been a listener for only about a year and a half, and it's really changed my perspective on everything. And Anne, did you ever hear of the McDonald Observatory?
The McDonald Observatory?
Observatory, uh-huh.
Is that the one in...
Texas, West Texas?
Oh, no, not the one in Texas.
Wait, I don't think it's named after...
Oh, you know, I thought...
James McDonald. I mean, it might have been named after the McDonald Douglas family. You know, that
you're
McDonald?
Right. You're right, it is. But James McDonald himself actually was at our dinner table one time.
The one we're talking about tonight.
Right.
Yeah.
And that was in the very early 70s, maybe the late 60s.
Yeah, because it was a James McDonald from the, it's spelled differently, but he was the jet plane company and the defense company.
Oh, so that's...
Two James McDonald, small world.
Too. But I have a question about, and to me it relates, but it could be off the wall to you. You know, with the UFOs and reincarnation and just all these different things I've been exploring for the past year and a half, I started exploring because my life had gone completely out of control in a very bad way, and it involves mafia people.
30 seconds to go. Are we going to make it?
I'm wondering if these people often use sort of alien technologies or to throw people off or...
Well, Ann, we've got 15 seconds. Give me the quick answer. The mafia involved with aliens?
Well, you see, I'm an objective person, scientifically oriented, and I work in this physical world.
So that sounds like I don't know, right?
That's right.
All right. Thanks, Ann. Appreciate you being our guest.
Oh, thank you so much, George.
Ann's website is linked up at coasttocoastam.com along with all her works. For Steve Carr, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasur, Ross Mitchell, Alan Corbett, Stephanie Smith, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.